from Hollywood. Heartbeat Theater, produced by the C.P. McGregor Studios for the Salvation Army. Welcome now to another drama about this world of ours, with its comedy and tragedy, happiness and sadness, hope and despair, and quite often a world made more stable and serene through the unceasing care and concern of the Salvation Army, serving man in the service of God. Dick Ryle wrote this week's Heartbeat Theater story. The curtain rises on Act One of a radio play titled Easy Credit.
Oh, what a downpour.
The weather report I got over. So what do I see, curtain? Coffee and...
How many times I got to tell you?
A septic ulcer.
You got no heart, Magda.
Tell me someday. So, a tea and Danish?
You got any bear claws?
One left from this morning. A little stale, maybe.
I'd lay odds.
I'd never bet on a sure thing.
Oh, give me that. I'll dunk it. I might bring it back to life.
You're an optimist, curtain. This tea could embalm a crocodile.
I'm not too young to die.
No problem. Crocs live forever. Hi, Major.
Oh, hello, Magda.
How are you this dark and stormy night?
Better than nothing. What do you think of the weather?
It's very promising.
Always the optimist, aren't you?
Got any nice fresh hot coffee, Magda?
See, you are an optimist.
This is why I came in.
Oh, hiya, Curtin. How are you?
Pessimistic, Cobb.
Pessimistic about what? The weather?
About getting a simple cup of tea.
All right, already. I've only got three hands. Any fool can plainly see.
What brings you out in this rain? The irresistible cuisine here?
What else? It's famous for at least a block, you know.
Further by at least two. Joe let him put you on, Major Cobb. He loves it. But he's a masochist.
I'm beginning to believe it myself. I get heartburn every time. You're all hurt, Magda.
I don't heartburn.
You believe you're a masochist, Curtin?
Right.
Why?
Because only a character who loves pain would come out on a night like this to do a job he's not exactly in love with.
Well, the rain will pass, and you can always quit the job.
It takes a special animal to do his kind of work, Major. Here's your coffee.
Thank you.
Where's my bear claw?
At the end of your arm.
Come on.
What a grouch. I can always hire new customers, you know.
You just get the food. Gee, I'm sorry, Carl. It's just that you're in a bad day.
In your racket, all day should be bad.
Look, if you had my problems... And your day, Carl? Inspired, I suppose? All sweetness and light?
Well, it depends on how you look at it. Always dark before the dawn.
Yeah, you guys. All the platitudes.
They tumble out at times.
Clichés irritate me.
Everything irritates you. Don't pay any attention to him, Major Cobb. He's just an old bear. Here, chew on your claw, Curtin.
You know what you are, Magda.
Oh, boy.
You're sweet. Yep. You're a lovely lady. And very chic.
Eat your heart out.
With a great personality. Oh, well, things will begin to look up by the first.
The first? What happens then?
Well, the first of the month, everybody pays their rent, buys some food stamps. And stocks up on liquid refreshments.
What's with the food stamps? I thought you told me you pulled down $18,000 a year.
Look, if you listen more and flap less, you'd know my salesman average $18,000. Me, I make over $40,000. We don't need no food stamps. Food stamps? Who needs food stamps? I pocketed $43,000 last year after taxes.
I got a big picture.
Of what?
Of you ever paying much taxes.
Oh, you make noises, but you don't say nothing. Not bad for a guy with only a high school education, huh, Major?
Well...
Yeah, and I don't need college types working under me either.
I'm confused. I understood you to be a money collector, but you just said something about salesmen.
Well, you know, it sounds better than collector, right? Like I said, even my bottom-rung salesman made $18,000.
You said that was the average. Now you're saying that the least one of them ever...
Well, you butt out, please. Cobb knows what I'm saying if you don't. Now, here's how it is. Sometimes a customer at the store I work for don't pay.
Well, maybe he falls behind.
I'm talking to Cobb. Don't stop interrupting.
How can I? You leave so many openings.
Okay. He falls behind, see? I see to it that my salesmen are at this customer's door to collect the very day those Social Security and welfare checks arrive.
Just like vultures on a tree limb.
Well, who are you to judge? Somebody has to collect for the store. It might as well be me, Bright Eyes.
Leech.
Look, the department store we collect for caters to low-income people. Most of them are honest enough, I suppose, but some...
That's big of you. Honest. Honestly poor, you mean.
And some are deadbeats. And the deadbeats are the ones I worry about. Yeah, the rest I save from themselves, Cobb.
Huh?
Sure. I see to it that they pay when it's due. So they don't, get in any legal trouble.
No, he's a saint yet.
What's that?
Curtin's toy.
This electronic pager. See, I wear it on my belt here. They buzz me on it when they want me to call in from the field. Hey, Magda, will you hand me your phone from under the counter there, will you? Thanks. This is Curtin. Yeah, I'm calling in from Magda's place. Oh, yeah, I see. That's the old scam. I'll tell you what you do. Just give him a nice stock clerk routine. You know, the one about how the stock clerk is on his way over with some people to repossess. No, not in the morning, right now. Tick. Don't worry, it'll work. It always does. Think positive. So positive that if you have to call me back, you don't have a job tomorrow, understand?
Tough guy.
Well, it's not easy for my men to become a salesman.
Why don't you call it by its real name? Collector. Strong-arm bill collector.
Cobb, management says at least 5 years' experience on the street. But once I get a guy trained for this store chain, if he lasts, if he's a, go-getter, he can expect a beautiful income.
Is that predicated on a straight commission basis?
Right. 15% at the moment of sale, 15% of every payment collected. It's a good deal. Now, here's how we work it. If they're on public assistance, they're likely to be put on a monthly contract.
Because the longer the payments, the more the interest, right?
Okay, sure. But they get the goodies they couldn't afford otherwise.
And you're here to help.
When customers make it on public assistance payments or Social Security, when they want furniture or tape decks or TVs, they come to us. We're one of the few store chains who'll give them easy credit.
Well, what's the bite for this easy credit?
You know, 31%, something like that.
That's excessive.
The greed is not one-sided, you know. We give them what they want, or in some cases, what they only think they need. Nobody else will bother or hassle payments.
And if payments default?
Nah, you said it. You got it. That's it. Oh, we get deadbeats, all right, but scams we nudge for overdues aren't usually hostile, you know.
But if they are?
Well, if that happens, some of my men might use a little strong language now and then. You know, put a little pressure on. Right?
Wrong.
What?
It's wrong. It's bad.
Listen, crazy lady. It's business.
Nothing personal, Mr. Curtin, but I hope and pray that yours is a vanishing breed.
Amen to that. Matt is Waldorf Astoria, where the beet meet to eat. Yeah, he's still around. Here, Scrooge.
Oh, you got great material. Yeah? Listen. You don't listen, good man. What are you going to telling you would happen if you called back? Yeah? I see. Did you put the monkey on? Did you tell them that it's out of your hands and they'd have to contact a credit manager if they wanted to? Oh, you did. You did? They did? They skipped? Well, why don't you tell me this before? Never mind. Hang up. I'll handle it. Now, this is why I'm in charge and make more bread than the other guys working for me. I got contacts in all four quadrants of this burg. Everybody knows everybody else in this kind of neighborhood, especially the contacts I use.
Big man.
Hello? This is Curtin. Put Sammy on. What? Why not? When? Okay, thanks.
What happened?
You know what Sammy did? I'm going to tell you. He went out and got himself picked up.
Picked up?
The dummy got himself picked up by the cops.
Your honest contact?
Well, it's like this. Sammy don't just supply me with info. He's got a real good thing going for him. He's a numbers runner.
Somebody runs faster than Sammy?
The police, it appears.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a hardship.
Poor man.
Yeah, it's tough on me.
You looking for sympathy? You know where to find sympathy? I'll tell you. In the dictionary, between sword dance and symphony.
No, I can't get at the creep who owes a store. Not till tomorrow, anyway. Even if Sammy's lawyers get Sammy out on bail in a couple hours, he still won't be able to give me the information on where the creep moved to with the family.
A great inconvenience to you.
Oh, what's this world coming to? I ask you, Cobb, who can you believe in anymore?
That was the first act of today's Heartbeat Theater story titled Easy Credit. Aside from the definition, time allowed for payment for goods and so forth obtained on trust or confidence in a purchaser's ability and intention to pay, the word credit also means belief, trust, reputation, trustworthiness, and honor for some quality and so forth. And if credit is due any organization in this world of ours, the Salvation Army certainly deserves full credit. Credit for giving the poor and downtrodden a chance at a better life. Credit for providing residences for the senior citizen. Credit for aiding at the scene of a fire, earthquake, flood, or other disaster. Credit for, well, the Salvation Army credits go on and on. But the biggest credit of all goes to you, the men and women of this great country and others in the world who support the Salvation Army and their many activities through generous contributions. And now back to the second act of the C.P. McGregor Studios production, Easy Credit.
Of you to drop me off on your way, Curtin.
Ah, forget it, Cobb. Yeah, I guess you do your share of favors in your racket, right?
Well, we don't look at it that way.
What way?
As a favor, nor as a racket.
Slum. That's all I ever see in this job.
This is where the need is. This is where it is for me.
Look, I'm not going to rationalize. That's your bag, you know? Me, I'm just out here trying to grab a living.
At 31%.
Ah, it's going to rain again. See. These first 5 days are rough enough without that, too.
First 5 days?
Like that lightning flash before the thunder. The danger on this job is that you can get hit before you hear the sound. But I got an edge here in Canada.
Who's A and what's the edge?
Well, word gets around that I'm a man with money in my pocket the first of every month. Enough money to cash 10 or 11 big checks. Well, I just hope the word also gets around that I carry... Oops, there it is. That's the building. You want to stop here and do some quick business? Hope you got a minute, okay?
Yeah, sure.
You know, I was just thinking, it's too bad you're not into it. But together, we could pull a great Mutt and Jeff.
You imagine I don't know what that is, huh? Well, try me.
Well?
That's where two collectors work together. One poses as the hard guy, and he demands payment. Enter the nice guy.
Right.
The hard one is demanding full payment in, say, 48 hours and threatens grim consequences. The nice guy intervenes and says if they can get at least half the amount up, he'll try to calm his friend down. Forget it. We got to repossess anyway, bluffs the hard guy. Huh?
You're natural. You're great.
In reality, the store won't hassle anyone who's making regular payments, even if those payments are less than the agreed-upon or contracted rate.
That's right.
But once the wholesale cost of the merchandise has been recouped, the store may attempt to repossess the furniture and resell it as used.
You see, baby, there's money to be made.
Actually, the store waits 90 days after an account becomes delinquent before paying, around $57 or $58 for court and marshal costs and preparation for a repossession.
Yeah, that's about it. And we really go after those bad debts because the real profit is at the end of the sale, not at the beginning. It's starting to rain. Hey, boy, I'm going to leave a beeper on the car seat so it won't get wet, you know, and short out or something. This collection won't take long. You know, I don't think I'm kidding anymore. You ought to seriously think about throwing in with me. It could be a great act.
Sorry, I'm not right for the part.
You're perfect.
Well, I've already got a run-of-the-play contract with another company.
No, Mickey Mouse. Look, you team up with me, and I can practically guarantee that inside of a year, you'll be making double what some of those clowns I got working for me make right now.
You're a very persuasive and determined man, Mr. Curtin.
Like I said, I'm not kidding.
This attractive offer of yours is reminiscent of another one made to a man nearly 2,000 years ago. A somewhat more spectacular offer. But yours is devilishly good, too.
I could up the ante. You could just, you know, state the deal. We can get together on it.
No deal.
You could be in Clover. Why slip around when you could be on Easy Street? Why fool around saving souls when you could be saving money? What do you say? You look bugged. Well, what'd I do? Why don't you say something? You know, you surprise me. You really do. A guy like you who knows his way around.
It surprises you that I know my way around.
Right.
Well, why? You think I live in a box, a piano box, protected from reality? What do you think the Salvation Army is all about, anyway?
Okay. I didn't mean nothing. Now, this collection isn't going to take very long, and I'll be right back.
I'll be right here. There goes that beeper. Well, I can tell Curtin that it sounded when he comes back. Yeah, it might be important. I'll go after him. Curtin! Hey, Curtin! Can't be that far. Is that you, Curtin? It's dark in this hallway.
Get away, you guys. Now, get away. I won't say it again. Help, officer!
Curtin?
Yeah, I'm here all right.
You okay, Curtin?
Yeah, look at that, will you? Only an inch from my head. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That hole in the wall, that's a bullet.
What happened?
Two punks, they tried to rob me. With my own gun.
Your gun?
They cornered me and told me to hand over my cash. I tried to pull out my gun, but one of them made a grab and it went off. And you came out of nowhere. In that hat and this light, you look just like a cop. Oh, wow, that was close.
Yeah, well, here's that edge of yours. Must have gone off when you dropped it. In the struggle, of course.
What's that?
Oh, that's you, isn't it, Mr. Curtin?
Yeah.
Right. You and your friend make a lot of noise. There's no point in passing your bottle back and forth in the hall. I haven't got your money for you anyway. Have you two been standing there long drinking?
I don't drink on a job, lady.
Oh, well, you took a drink of wine when I offered it to you the last time you was here.
Well, see, you were my last stop that day. It was cold out.
Oh, and the other guy. Is he a cop?
No, ma'am, I'm not. I'm from,
You kids all wear strange clothes nowadays. Well, I guess I shouldn't judge.
Kids? Look, Granny, you only owe $25 on a color TV. You whittled that down from the original $500. You've been paying off regulars a tick. Why are you going to stop just short of full ownership?
It don't work.
Huh?
It's busted. It worked for a couple of months and stopped.
But the interest don't. That keeps on mounting if you don't pay.
Well, I sent it back to the store to get fixed. When they come home with it, it still didn't work. Oh, it's such a pretty set. But it just sits there. The only friend, the only entertainment I had.
Well, what'd he tell you?
He said the tube was shot and that the price of repair was, he said I might as well get a new set.
Oh, but your set isn't old. I mean, you didn't have picture tube insurance either.
Well, can't afford that on Social Security. Besides, Mr. Curtin, I'll never go back to your store. I didn't get a fair deal. I try. I don't hurt other people. But I just can't do nothing right. could have knocked me over with... Listen, when they told me that Curtin was retiring, well...
I never thought I'd see the day when I think that lead had more value than silver.
What do you mean?
Well, I ask you, which would you rather have, silver in your pockets or lead in you?
Lead bullets or silver coins, right?
Right. I'm not going to press my luck.
Ah, they come smarter, but you're not as dumb as I thought. Oh, hey, Major, I wish I could have seen it.
What?
You two down on your hands and knees fixing the little old lady's TV.
Oh, there's nothing to it. Just took the back off, took the small tubes out.
Yeah, then we tested them down at the corner drugstore, you know, that place they got down there. Just one little old baddie, and the big picture tube was okay.
As you suspected, Curtin.
Me? You're the one who really fixed it. You even paid for the part.
Magda, did Curtin tell you that he paid off the lady's television principal himself? She owns it free and clear now?
He did? Curtin?
Yeah?
Bless your heart.
You know, you two should be engaged.
What? Hey, listen, I'm retiring, not committing suicide.
Yeah.
What is it, Curtin?
Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking how funny life is.
It's pretty fragile, all right. It really does hang by a thread. I can't figure you when you're being serious or when you're putting us on.
No. Let him say it.
It was making me mean. It was making me miserable. It was making me sick.
What was?
The chase.
The chase?
You know what?
The material things. The temporal as opposed to the spiritual.
Yeah.
The money, the petty power, the chase after trivia.
Right.
Well, you have to hustle after you're living down here.
Yeah, that's the way I went about it, see? Or maybe it was the nature of the job, but it made me pretty hard to take.
I can't disagree.
And it was killing me. Slower than if that bullet had hit me, but it was getting there. I never felt so good about anything as when we helped that old lady. It did something for me. 1,000 times more good for me than her. Now, I'm not what you'd normally call a God-fearing man.
Have I heard that before?
Yeah, I guess you have. I guess you hear a lot of people begin a statement by qualifying it that way and then end by proving the reverse. Okay. All I know is that bullet missed me by mere inches. That gun trigger didn't just trigger a bullet. It triggered me. And when it crashed into the wall next to my head, well, it woke me up. The bullet may have been fired from the gun, but I think it had a much stronger source.
Spiritual?
God. It was God's bullet. It was like being handed my life back again. It was like a second chance. Believe me, it's going to be better this time around.
I believe you.
And now that I'm retired... What do you say, Major? For starters, are there some chores I can do to help you and your folks out?
Magda, would you believe that 2 weeks ago this was the man who thought to try to tempt me?
The devil, you say?
Very like the devil.
But you weren't tempted.
Instead, you're coming over to our side.
That's a winning team, too.
And you want to know something? My ulcer hasn't bothered me lately.
Curtin.
Magda?
You really want to do something to help?
I meant what I said.
Okay. Then you can start by helping me clean up these dishes so I can close up.
You've been listening to the final act of a radio play by Dick Ryle titled Easy Credit. Dawes Butler was heard as Curtin, with Sandra Gould as Magda, Loreen Tuttle as the old woman, and Barney Phillips as Major Cobb. Heartbeat Theater was produced by the C.P. McGregor Studios in Hollywood and directed by Don Hills. Please join us next week for another Heartbeat Theater story. Until then, this is your host, Marvin Miller, wishing you a very pleasant week.